some, you know, natural ability.
Yeah, of course. No, we're saying, like, yeah, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles, like, had that natural ability. But the fact they had nothing else distracting them probably helped them get real good real fast.
Exactly.
Like, they got to 10,000 hours sooner than anyone, because, like, what else are they fucking doing?
Ben's perception of blind people is just, what else you got?
There was this story of a kid who was, like, paraplegic, and all day he watched the other kids at recess. He watched them play basketball, watched them play kickball, and they were interviewing him, and the kid was smart as hell, dude. Like, like a philosopher at, like, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And they were like, wow, you're so smart for your age. And he's like, all I do is sit here and think.
Yeah. I thought you were going to tell me he was going to walk.
I thought for sure you were going to say he broke out of the chair and just sent one over the fence.
Hey, no, his spine didn't work. But he was smart.
He couldn't think that one through, huh?
No.
He couldn't think his way out of the chair.
if I just watch these kids walk long enough, soon enough, I'll make it happen.
I got to say, my stomach does hurt.
Well, you had 4 car accidents inside of your stomach tonight.
It was not good.
Yeah, I've got a 8-car pileup on an exit ramp.
Good thing we did the half. The half.
Yeah,
the half,
for
the
for half. Those of you that don't know, we just shot After School Special, and it's where we review 90s, early 2000s snacks, 80s, I guess, for some of the products. And you see if it tastes as good as it did when you were a kid. And we had 4 things, which I didn't think would be enough, 4 episodes. S'mores Pop-Tarts, Uncrustables.
Jimmy Dean sausage McMuffin, whatever you call it. Sausage egg sandwich.
Oh, yeah. And the Fig Newtons.
The Fig Newtons.
And that's all just sitting in my stomach right now. All of ours.
You didn't clean any room earlier?
No, I went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But you could tell I had to have the squatty potty to get it all out.
I see.
Squatty potty.
You're a squatty potty fan?
No, I wish. Sometimes I do that. Just to get the effect.
You say you wish. How much can a stool be? Just get one.
All right.
How much is a squatty potty?
This episode is brought to you by Squatty Potty. Enter in B. Thompson for 20% off.
So you think it really works?
I think because the natural way to dump, not to put my shoes on the thing, but is to... This is the natural way to take a dump in the woods. So I'm told. Never done it before. Never went camping. It's like this. So when you're on the toilet, they say like 17 to 70% of your stool doesn't come all the way out if you're sitting this way, because your body is bent weird. So it's like containing, it's like there's a jam in the soft serve machine, if you will.
Yeah, you turn into the McFlurry machine that never seems to work.
Yeah, it's down for maintenance. Yeah. That's your ass.
See, I don't like the squatty potty because I get...
So really what you're saying, go ahead.
I get self-conscious. Like, I can't take myself seriously sitting on a toilet like this, and then I get all tense, and when you're tense, you can't make it go.
Yeah, you're on, like, a snowmobile.
Yeah, I'm just like, I can't, this is too weird.
Really, the position is that they were, when they were doing this camping, especially, they're crapping in a hole.
Right.
So you're more so squatting, where your knees are closer to your...
I've done it before. It's a delight.
But if you think about it, no houses, no modern technology. We're just man in the woods.
Yeah.
That's how you poop.
I don't know. Nice toilet.
You don't sit on a log.
Good. I don't know. I like a toilet.
Well, when I was...
Oh, of course.
Hot take. You like a toilet. I like a toilet. But no, there is something... Because, you know, when I was little, we would go hiking in on the mountains and stuff. And sometimes, you know, you've had a few too many... Quaker Oats bars.
As you gotta, your family did.
Yeah, and you got to make it happen.
Yeah,
so
you don't want to shit your Patagonias.
I mean, what are you going to do, another trip to REI? You just went. So you have to go out into the woods, and you'd have to make it happen. And it wasn't bad unless you forgot toilet paper.
I was just going to say, how do you wipe?
Someone always brings a toilet paper.
Someone, you've never not had toilet paper shit in the woods?
Twice.
Leaves. And what is that like?
Oh, God.
It's rough.
Holy shit.
It's luckily, both times we hiked to a lake. So it was like.
So you just washed your ass.
So you're, yeah, you're like getting to the lake.
I mean, that's the most primal thing, I think, leaf to asshole.
It's pretty rough.
I mean, that's.
Because
he's been closer to ancient man than we have just from the leaf to the ass.
My mind immediately went to the fish in the lake. The guy, five of the Thompsons just fucking cleaning out their
buttholes. Dropped off the Thompsons.
Holy shit, the fish are like, whoa.
Well, it's so. It's, yeah, it's funny.
That's why I don't. Those whole wheat?
Florida Zephyr Hills water, you can swim in Zephyr Hills Springs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would you ever. Drink that because of that reason.
Yeah, checks. Well, the lake we would go to is also pure snow runoff, and there's like a small little creek out, so there's hardly any water circulation. So what's in there? It's in there.
Is in
and
there.
All
baby.
The because all yeah, it all comes from the snow from the chutes. So it's freezing cold too in the dead of summer. So you'd go, you know, no one would jump in, but if someone's like, I'm going in. It's because they forgot.
So your family washed their asses in the Arrowhead water
pretty, yeah,
facility.
Exactly.
Wow.
Nice. Some beautiful, clear, crisp snow runoff water.
Yeah.
And the Thompsons are just.
I don't swim
in
that lake much anymore because I'm sure it's still there.
Oh, you're not the only ones who did it.
The lake's freak. It's a freaky lake because like nothing comes in and out except this like little creek stream, and no one knows how deep it is. It's creepy.
Huh.
Yeah. There's like, yeah, no one's ever been to the bottom. So, like, you
people
have
go
no
missing.
Idea. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it freaks me out. Yeah. These are the heebie jeebs.
In a weird way, I want to know what it's like to grow up, how you did, like, granola with the hiking shoes. And just being like, I feel like you came from, like, a wooded environment.
Yeah, like, hikes are just how it is.
Sean just described the Thompsons as just, like,
pioneers.
Bear Grylls.
Yeah.
That's how I see yeah.
I used to, I would mountain bike. To my friend's place.
Full face?
I was like, no, just a regular helmet. But a bandana underneath because I was sick.
Okay, yeah, you got a lot of
hair. Yeah. Had
all
a lot of hair.
Of our childhoods could not be more,
I know, right?
More vastly different.
Well, that's what's amazing is like, I wish I had a little more nature, but I was just kind of like city to country, back to city.
Yeah. What was your percentage breakdown of city to country?
We grew up, first 11 years, I was in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So I remember that, all the museums. Like the field trips
I didn't
there.
Know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
So the field trips were like going to see all the diamonds and the crystals and all the rare shit, you know, dinosaur, T-Rexes. Then we went to Florida. Everyone's wearing.
That's Air and Space Museum.
Yeah.
That thing's a piece of shit.
I mean, as a kid, it was the greatest thing ever. Seeing all that
stupid.
Stuff.
Stupid. I went there once. Everything looks old and outdated. It sucks. It was stupid. Then you get these little exhibits. You turn a knob. You see, it's so stupid. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, what age were you?
I was about 30.
Yeah. Sean was 10, where knobs are fun.
Yeah, I was 10, and dude, they did like all the space stuff.
Just saying,
know.
it was overhyped.
It didn't hold up.
Space museum.
It didn't hold up. After school museums, Air and Space in D.C. doesn't hold up.
Shit was trash. I don't care what anyone says.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Sean.
No, you're good, man. Then I got down to Florida, and it was like, in my sixth grade class, they were like, what do you do for fun? This kid Cameron, and he was like, I like to go hooding. And I'm just like, what the fuck is hooding, you know? And it's like sledding except for, or tubing, except they don't have snow. So they take the hood off of like an old truck, and they tie a rope to another truck, and you're just sitting on a metal hood, just skipping down the street, like with sparks. And he's like, yeah, hooding, man. They just, and I'm just, like, I just remember it was me and a couple other kids. Because everybody that moved to Bradenton, Florida at the time, it was, like, everyone was from such a different place. It was just kind of, like, a weird up-and-coming part of Florida. It was all farms and stuff.
What was the closest city?
Tampa was 45 minutes north.
Gotcha. Wow.
But
okay.
This was, like, this was, it's a beach town now, but it was very, like, just, like, redneck growing up. And it would just be, like, the kids that you would hang out with. It was like meeting someone from New York in L.A.
Right.
You're just like, yo, we got to stick together. Like, yeah. The kids that were like, what is this shit?
Yeah.
That was like who you became friends with.
How did you end up down there?
My dad got a job down there. And it was one of those things, like, the house wasn't even built yet. It was literally just all farmland. Like, I remember just.
You guys loaded up the station wagon?
Yeah, man. Just drove down.
Out of D.C., baby.
And if you go outside, it's not like. There's no hills. There's no hiking. There's no. It's just the highest point in the town is the landfill. and I would just be mad as a kid. People were like, we're going to the landfill. I'm like, we're going.
And you're like, it's a fucking landfill.
I'm like, we're going to the landfill?
Yeah.
You really did grow up with Jerry Springer people.
Oh, dude. 100%.
Yeah.
I didn't fuck till I was like 20, dude. I just wanted to make sure I was out of there.
Yeah.
There was pregnant girls on my bus.
No way.
Yes. Going to school, there was the seat up front next to the bus driver, and that was for the pregnant chicks.
We're going to head to the school, but first we got to drop up Karen at the OBGYN.
She's going to...
Oh, my God. Sorry I didn't get the homework in. I had a pap smear.
Dude, it was...
crazy.
Yeah, no, it was bad, dude.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, these two could not be more vastly different than where I grew up. I mean, literally the first 13 years of my life, I thought everybody was Italian.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm like saying that in a serious way. Like there was just no, you know, I went to a Catholic school. All those kids were Irish, German, and Italian. And like, we didn't know anything. I didn't even know there was anything outside of Catholic.
Yeah.
Because everybody I knew was Catholic, and there was a few Jews, and that was it. And I was like, you were either Jewish or you were Catholic.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I was like, you know, like I even say that about my high school. I mean, I went to Catholic high school. 90% of the kids were Italian and Greek. 4 years, all we did was argue about who invented the world and cuisine. And then we graduated. And that was it. So I just like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't, you know, I just like, but that's why it's also good to just get the fuck out of where you are.
Oh, for sure.
And go see shit. Like, no matter, even if it's a different state, like you, it's just good.
Yeah.
You see other things, even if you don't like it where.
Yeah, because you got to know. Yeah. You got to know what you're into and what you're not into. Mm-hmm. You don't know if you never leave.
You need perspective. You need, man.
Yeah, you need perspective. That's exactly what it is.
You
got to
see different walks of life. It's like, it's important.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I've been here in L.A. I mean, New York and L.A.
Yes.
Real fucking.
But you've also traveled all over for work.
Yeah, I have.
So you've seen it.
But I was in and out. I was never like.
Yeah.
But just the difference between New York and L.A. gives you a taste of the country.
Because of the people you meet, too.
Exactly. Because because you meet the people from Wisconsin and Ohio. And
or me from Indiana.
Well, when I used to travel
Indiana's
for work,
a dump, by the way.
He thought I was from Indiana for the first 6 months we were friends, right?
Lindsay used to go, where is Ben from? I go, Indiana. I've been to Mississippi. Oh, I've never in my life, I was walking around in a suit with my greased hair, and I had a meet with the, because we were insuring schools. So I had a meeting with the entire Mississippi college school boards, because they were all state schools, and we were trying to get their insurance or whatever. My God, I mean, really nice people, but I felt like my cousin Vinny.
Yeah,
it was just so odd. I mean, like, it's just so different,
it is weird, man. When you get into a new place and it's so different, you can't. Even find like common ground.
There is none.
Yeah.
That's why people don't leave. Because they get so used to their way of life, their culture, their everything. Like people even thought just me moving out here, they were like, what are you going to do out there? And I go, what does that mean? They go, the people are slow. And yeah. I would go, you ever been there? They go, no, but I heard.
That's so true.
Yeah. Right? Immediately after that was, bro, what are you going to do for pizza and bagels?
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, well, honestly, I don't base, I mean, I like pizza and bagels, but I'm not making life decisions. But the reality is, they do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's a real thing. And I actually appreciate that in a way. Like, they're like, nah, this is where I am. I don't, you know, I'm not venturing out. People just become so...
Well, and like familiarity is uh-huh. such an appeal because it's, I mean, it is scary to go for a lot of people to go to a new place and start over.
Yeah.
And to figure it out. Being a fish out of water is tough. A lot of people would be in your situation and go to Bloomington, you know, looking like you're from The Godfather and be just crippled by it. They would they would crumble under the anxiety of feeling like they did not belong. I mean, that's why so many people don't do shit, because they feel uncomfortable. And there's nothing that makes you feel more uncomfortable than feeling like you are alone and you don't belong.
Yeah.
And people then make full life decisions about it. And they mask it by saying, well, I just love my butcher. It's like, right. You actually don't love your butcher. You just, the idea of finding another one in a different state is crippling to you.
They just, yes. And for me to make a move like this in my 30s, mm-hmm. you know, like, I feel like if you're like in your early 20s, I mean, not that it's easy in any way, but like you come out here in your early 20s or whatever, I don't know, I feel like you adjust more, but when you get like into your 30s, you just get like, you get so set in your
super
ways.
Rare because you're established.
Yeah, you're established, and I'm like, I got friends, I got family.
Once you get the roots on you, you can't get them off.
That's it. Yeah. And I just knew, like, man, I love home, and I love the people there, but, you know, like, the neighborhood that I grew up in is all two family homes. Mm-hmm. And just generations of families born and die there. The grandparents die, mm-hmm. and they now are out of the first floor, so that generation then moves down, and the next generation moves to the top, and it just, and that's it. It's a crazy, I thought this can't be it.
It didn't sit right with you.
It just wasn't it.
But that's why we all meet each other, I think, out here and in other places, is because, you know, there is the thing where it's like, oh, we're all in the same vibration. You know, you can get into the frequency spiritual side of it, but it's like,
that's not
anyone.
But how did you get
that
started in comedy?
But I'm saying we're all chasing the same thing, and it's not an accident that we've met each other out here.
Well, when you think about it, I think what probably made us uncomfortable is what made us funny and made us all friends. Because we,
right.
It's from what seems like, you know, all three of us looked at home and went, this is
not home.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This can't be it. But then we went other places and went,
this sucks.
These people are all crazy too.
This sucks.
Well, I never asked you, man, how did you get into comedy? No, what made you say, like, I'm going to LA from being in Washington? I mean, it's basically all the way north to all the way south as you can go.
Yeah, I mean, I just was determined to play college soccer.
Oh, so soccer brought you out
here. Yeah, I mean, soccer brought me to California. And then when I was here, you know, I was just, like, taking business classes.
So you were really doing the soccer thing?
Yeah.
Damn.
Like, really doing it. Yeah. I mean, it was D1 or bust growing up. And then it was like, okay, I could go.
D1 of the trap.
Yes. that's what we said. That's what we say all the time.
It's D1 or nothing, Ben, and got bad news. Those D1 offers ain't rolling in, so... I got good news. We got a trade school who really needs a midfielder.
You know what?
And we also got this school down in Palm Springs called Redlands that's itching for a British strapping young man such as yourself.
You're like, Ben, Manchester United did not call you, so it's time to get to Flappers at 8:30.
Those calls came back to back, though, I tell you.
Yeah.
I had to make a quick decision.
Oh, shit.
I know this is your last game, Ben, but can you send your avails?
I would definitely be in some kind of league if I didn't just want to fucking talk shit to people.
Well, you could have really expanded upon your swim career.
Well, not that.
What was your best sport?
I was really good at hockey.
Really?
Yeah.
How long did you play?
Because I figure skated first. All that bit is legit.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I would even
so
be the kid.
Ice
no kidding.
Yeah. I would even be the, I mean, I haven't done it in a while, but
yeah.
I'd probably pick it right back up. But the, you would go do free skate and all mm-hmm. your friends are like, let me get the hockey skates. I'd be like, figure skates. I was that guy, bro. Cause they're more nimble.
Yeah. Cause you're quicker.
Yeah. I would hit the spins, dude. I would fuck them up.
You would have been a great character in Mighty Ducks.
Probably.
That was probably right around your age range, too.
I love Mighty Ducks. I had all the action figures. I had the mini goalie, like,
they had action figures?
Everything, bro.
Really?
I went hard on the action figures.
That's awesome.
I did too.
Yeah, hockey.
Hockey
just really good. And they were like, remember all the parents that it was like when you played a sport, you would 80% of the kids only played that sport. So you were like an outsider coming in, like, oh, this is your first year playing hockey. But I played street hockey my whole life, and then I figure skated. So, I mean, maybe I played a little gay, if you will, but I scored a lot of goals.
You were light on your feet.
Yeah, they were like, the goalie's like, I didn't know he was going to spin. Why'd he do this in a toe touch? I've never seen that shit.
Did he just triple axel?
Yeah.
I think he was offsides, but he did a triple lutz.
Yeah. Why does he have glitter on his uniform? We've never.
He's wearing a skirt, but he's got 5 goals.
Sean's playing out of the D.C. region.
Yeah, I was in the penalty box. Dude, the one time I got put in the penalty box, the first time I cried.
Really?
Yeah, I felt like I got in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Because the ref's like, 2 minutes!
Yeah.
And you're like, no!
Like a Charlie Brown character.
Yeah, but you're happy you have, like, the cage over your face. So
yeah, they can't see me cry.
Sean had a full meltdown. He's like, that's my whole short program. 2 minutes.
That's my whole short program.
That's my routine.
I can do 3 triple lutzes. You can't do this to me.
The face off is his legs just up like that. That's so wild. You were in figure skating.
Yeah, that is really amazing.
So how many years did you compete, or did you never compete?
They always were like, I think you're ready to compete. And this was like when
in
they
figure skating.
Yeah, because they were like,
how do I not notice about
they
you?
they wanted me to start throwing girls in the air. And I was just like, I can't. I got to go play hockey now.
Yeah.
Really?
Because that's the bit where I'm like, eventually got to choose a path.
I chose heaven. Yeah.
The Lord will let me in if I'm on the forecheck.
as soon as I hit someone into the boards, I'm going to the pearly gates.
That's incredible.
Booked your ticket.
That's so wild.
I played pretty much everything, man. But soccer was a huge, huge thing. I played for like one of the big clubs there were, it was Black Magic.
Okay.
It was like Manatee Magic. Then they probably had the same thing. It was like white, black, like platinum, like different, same club, but different.
Yeah. I mean, they just,
it was like varsity JV.
A team, B team, C team, but they have different colors. So as if kids don't fucking know.
Exactly.
Like, oh, I'm on. Yeah. We had Navy and Sky. Navy, Sky, and White was like A, B, and C. It was like, if you're on this, yeah. Oh, on the Sky team.
So same thing, yeah.
Yeah, which is like you're on the B team. Like,
I remember my cousin played soccer when he was like 7. He signed up, and you know, a 7-year-old soccer game is
freeze tag.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's caps to the flag.
But I remember I went, and it was in Queens, and it was under the Whitestone Bridge, and I'll never forget. I was standing there, and then halftime comes, and the mom brings out like 6 bags of oranges, and everyone was like, "You have to eat these." Because you don't get cramps.
Yeah.
I must have. I wasn't even playing, but I told my cousin, I was like, "You think I get some oranges?" I had like 38 oranges that afternoon.
Dude, growing up, I cannot tell you how hated my team was. For one, we had the British coach.
Right.
So we were the only one with legitimate, you know, tactics and formations.
Yeah, the guy bought a whiteboard.
Yeah. Oh, no, he was even post whiteboard. He had the little pieces on the, like, it was like a magnetic board with little pieces that moves around. Yeah. I mean, and then on top of that, my, you know, dad sold coffee.
Right.
So he would bring this amazing coffee spread for the parents, and the parents would take turns bringing baked goods. Our assistant coach had a silkscreen and embroidery company.
Oh, you guys
so
had nice
they
uniforms.
Made gear. So we all had names on the back of our shirt, and we all had matching warm-ups, and the parents had fleeces. Oh, and we were good. People hated us. Absolutely
I love how we finished
hated
it.
Us.
Good.
Yeah. Well,
in the summer, the kids that would run with the parachutes on their back, like they would sign up for extra classes. Yeah. You're like, of course they're winning. They're doing lab studies on these
exactly.
kids.
Exactly.
Where I remember I played a lot of basketball and baseball growing up and a lot of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
But basketball was the best because we played in this organization, and my cousin and I, who were a year apart, were always on the same team. And we were like the 90s Detroit Pistons. Yeah. That's how we played at like 12 years old. And we would curse. we were full on like garbage mouths.
Smoking cigs.
Dude, to the point where like we were cursing at refs. Like, fuck this cunt. And we were 12. And my father was the coach. And my dad used to say that after the games, like, I don't think I can do this anymore. He's like, I don't think I can do this with you guys, Jeff and I. He's like, I don't think I can't do this with you guys. And we ended up getting, Jeff and I each ended up getting suspended multiple times at 12 years old. And there were parents who hated us. Not, I mean, and we won the championship one year.
No way.
Well, yeah, because we roughhoused. We were just, like, we thought.
Prison ball.
Well, you also got to remember, like, this is the time and the era in the NBA where we were big Knicks fans.
Yeah.
And they played rough. Yeah. And we were very much of the mindset, like, if you're going to come down the lane, you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that about you.
And we threw elbows. And we fought.
Yeah.
And we fought with each other. And I'll never forget one of the best fucking things ever. My cousin Jeff, who is a great athlete, phenomenal athlete. We were losing a game and we got blown out this one game and the refs were just killing us on calls. And they were, you know, you gotta remember, these are parents. These are, you know.
Yeah, they're getting paid 15 bucks a game.
These are guys like in their late 50s.
Who they're wearing shorts.
Yeah, and just like whatever. And my cousin threw a fit and we had reversible jerseys. So one team would wear, you know, white, we would wear blue, vice versa, whatever. And we were getting blown out, I don't know, by like 15, 20 points. And my cousin got thrown out of the game, and he took his jersey, turned it inside out, and sat on the other team's bench. And he told, I'll never forget, that the ref's name was Gene. And he goes, Gene, I'm not losing today. And I was so disappointed that I wasn't in Jeff's position at that moment in time, because it was so, I was envious.
How old was he?
13, 12. We were 6th, 7th grade.
Yeah, you kids were like 50. And
dude, my father didn't. My father spent.
That's the thing is, yeah.
Yeah, the New York kids are, bro, I was always jealous.
New York 12.
I was always jealous of the New York kids, bro. Like the one kid from New York that would move to Florida, bro, he would just take over the school.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, that kid's
fascinated by it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this was the best. So we win the championship, right? I will never forget. We're 13 years old. We win the championship. And they had in the, by the way, the name of the league was DG, which stood for Dwarf Giraffe.
You told me. Yes, you
so
told
that
me.
That was the name of the league.
I was waiting for Dolce and Gabbana.
That was the upper league. That was the AAU league.
Okay, so listen. So DG, Dwarf Giraffe, and the logo was a giraffe, and the dwarf was feeding the giraffe like an apple. That was the logo. You could look it up, swear on my life. Google this shit when we get it.
Who came up with this?
Dude, I
what
have no
acid
idea.
Acid trip.
I know. The league's been around since like the 40s and 50s.
Dwarf
in
Giraffe.
Queens. Yeah.
We looked it up one night. I can't remember what the reason
was. Yeah, Lindsay's still fascinated by this story. In any event, we win the championship, and they have an award ceremony where they give the trophies out. It's like a whole night. They give like a little buffet dinner, and it's the whole thing. So, you know, and it's the whole league. So it's young kids, it's older kids, and everyone's getting their trophies, a whole table set up of trophies. And Jeff and I, they announce Jeff and I, you know, come up, get your trophy. And I kid you, I swear on my mom's life, the entire place, parents and kids booed us.
No way. Food. No way.
And we smiled.
They booed you.
If I called Jeff
how
right
old
now,
are you?
I said like 12, 13 years old.
And they booed 12-year-olds.
That's insane.
If I called my cousin right now, he'd tell you the story verbatim. They booed us, right? But it was warranted. We sucked. We were bad people. Dude, we were calling refs cunts. Do you know what that's like?
Of course not.
It's fucking crazy. And my brother, who was 6, was the assistant manager. Ryan. And he used to carry my dad's clipboard. And Ryan used to have this wad of gum in his mouth every game.
Yeah.
And I just remember Ryan seeing us because he was pretty much into it. Like, yeah. Like, he was like, this is kind of cool.
This is hilarious.
He's like, this is fucking crazy.
I can't wait to be 12.
And I used to look at Ryan when we used to go off on refs or other players or kids or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would just be like, just mortified.
Oh, my God.
But loving it at the same time.
Oh, bro.
That's amazing.
I know exactly what gum you're talking about, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was gum that was supposed to hydrate you, that scam.
I have it in the room. Quench.
Yep,
yes,
quench gum.
You have it?
I'll give you some when we come.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I need to get some quench.
But this was a pattern, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They put all of the kids' names in a whatever, and they draw names, and they go, oh, this kid's going to go with that coach.
Oh, I see.
You know,
okay.
It's one of those. It's like 8, 9, 10 teams, whatever it is.
Sure.
Green team. Blue
and I know, yeah, I'll never forget this kid. He got picked to be on a team. He went to 2 practices, and his father went to the commissioner of the league and said, I need him off the team. And he was off the team. He didn't want to be on a team with Jeff and I.
Because you guys were just psychopaths.
Well, we were fucking crazy.
You were 12-year-old Bill Laimbeers.
That's how we thought we should play.
I love it, dude.
And we used to come back. We used to come back with blood on our jerseys. Like, it was crazy. And my mom was just like, hey, take that off. I'll wash it.
I'm running out of bleach.
Yeah, it wasn't even like...
I'm just glad you're not home.
It's just what happened.
Yeah. My mom wasn't even disappointed. She was like, I love that competitive shit. And that's why I'm like, it's so odd to me to, like, see just these days of just the stupidity.
Yeah.
Like, just pussies.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, it's bad, dude. You even know? At the highest level.
Yes.
It's sad. Like, every NBA player just throws themselves on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we used to be, like, we were kind of the mindset, like, and there were other kids in the league like this, like, that played like that. We were like, if we're going to lose, you're leaving with a black eye. We just didn't give a shit. We were fucking crazy, and we were just always getting warnings, and same happened in baseball.
Yeah.
We used to fucking just be ruthless.
Yeah.
But
running down the baseline, just trucking kids.
But the time that Jeff fucking switched benches.
that's legendary.
I'll never forget, the guy's name was Gene, and he had those rec specs. You know, and they were thick. They were thick. He had a thick prescription. And Jeff said something to him. He'd be like, great. He goes, I think you're blind, Gene. Yeah, he was like, you know how bad it is? 12-year-olds to get technicals.
That's hard.
For behavior.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, dude, when we were play soccer, you'd have your regular league where you get yellow cards, red cards, but then in the off season you play like these summer leagues or like some kind of like church leagues. And they had a ref, but they just called out of bounds and stuff like that. There was no yellow card, red card system. So you could just truck kids.
Yeah.
And parents would be like, hey.
Yeah.
Like, I had parents scream at our team, but we're like, card us.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, you can't remove us.
Yeah.
So we were just destroying kids.
Yeah. And I think that's also why I like the roller hockey. Because you really didn't get, there was no, like, you know, we were just rough. Like, that's how we played.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, it wasn't like, there was no big deal in hockey, in roller hockey. It was because there were kids that used to hit hard. Like,
mm-hmm.
It was just full on, like, kids played.
That's incredible.
Dude, so in my neighborhood, one year they just had a huge, like, super smooth cement top, and they built like a regulation size, like, wall. It was a roller hockey rink.
Oh, it's awesome.
It was official.
Yeah, I know.
Just
they have
right
the boards
in
the and everything.
It was insane.
The best.
Dude. Ugh.
The best. No,
child,
I mean,
that was nuts.
But I actually, that so like, I think that's a lot of like what's missing now, man. Like, it's just like,
everyone's on the internet.
Fucking
these
ridiculous.
Kids don't interact with each other.
Like, you had all of that. Like, you know, like, think about your memories with that. Those are
no kid has ever remembered a game of COD. Right. No kid has ever remembered a 2K game.
I've remembered a lot of COD games, actually.
And you're broken, so checks out.
Is that DC, Sean, or Florida, Sean?
Oh, Florida.
Yeah, what state, Sean, are we in?
Florida, Sean. No, but I just remember, like, growing up, it would just be yards with bikes in them.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore, dude.
No.
I haven't seen a kid on a... Actually, a couple Jews ride around, but...
Yeah. Of course, you know, it's hard, you know, here because you're just, like, in the thick of it, but...
But I'm seeing even in the suburbs, everyone's just online talking to each other.
I don't know how much it's still happening in New York. Like, you know, like, I have you know, friends that I went to high school with, and now they have kids and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them are playing, like, ice hockey competitively or football, whatever it may be, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, like, it's still nice to see that because they're promoting it.
Right.
But, I think they're, like, big time the minority in something like that. Because I just don't, I don't know. I don't, the core of a family is not there anymore to promote that shit.
No, you're getting choked up. You okay?
I just fucking gonna cry.
No, you're right. But also, it's hard because it's hard to blame them. I mean, you know what an iPad is to a kid?
Yeah.
When you're at that age, like, you just need the max stimulant possible. That's why parents are exhausted because their job is to entertain a child constantly. Yeah. And they have the best entertainment machine ever made. Literally at their fingertips. It's a constant battle to get it away from them.
Yeah.
Well, that's insane. Because I remember life before the internet, and then it happened real quick.
Yeah.
Like the floppy disk hit. That was dope. People were playing video games on the floppy disk. Like, wow, you can play this like game.
Yeah.
And then it just went boom, CD-ROM, dial up to broadband, and it was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Cassettes went to.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm with you where I remember it so quickly where it was like, you know, we're going to so-and-so's to hang out. Like, you would have a bike, you'd play basketball, you'd be at a pool, and it so quickly happened where you'd get invited to hang out somewhere, and you were just playing video games.
That's it, yeah.
And it would just happen so quick. And I was like, I don't remember getting a memo. I don't remember the email where this was like, I thought, you know, we were going to go fuck around, and it just, I don't know. But I was also.
It was like school. After school, everyone gets online.
Yeah.
And talks over the headset. And that kind of like, oh, we don't need to be at each other's house. We all have our own Xbox kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was like you're tired from school anyway.
Yeah.
Like high school and all that.
I remember Gmail chat happening when I was in middle school. So it's like right as kids start dating for the first time. Kids with older brothers and sisters had it, but it wasn't a big deal.
How old are you again?
I am 27.
You're 27?
Yeah.
Oh, so we're like, I thought you were way younger.
No.
I thought you were like 23.
I was at one point. I've been 23.
Many moons ago.
Thanks.
Well, I think, you know, like, that. I remember that too, like, just being in middle school and shit. And, you know, you would get home, I don't know, whatever, 2:30, and all you could think about was, like, getting on my roller skates and my hockey stick, and we would head to the fucking schoolyard, and there'd be 15 kids there, and we would just play hockey.
Yeah.
And then we would come home and do our homework. Like, it was just...
Remember, like, the race do something before it got dark?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about, especially in New York.
Yeah.
It's dark at 4:30 in the winter, so by the time you got, like, an hour and a half to really...
Okay, the bus gets there, like, gets to the neighborhood. Yeah. Neighborhood kids are like, all right, everyone, get home, get your snack, and then we've got time for, like, two games of kickball, and then we don't have any lights, and then we got to do homework.
Yeah.
I don't think kids have that anymore.
Nah, they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You ever play Manhunt?
Oh, what's my Manhunt? God. Yes. Oh.
Where everyone would hide in the neighborhood?
People would hide for hours.
Dude, it was nuts. And then one person's job was to find them.
Yeah.
And you had to get to someone. It was like usually the driveway was base. So if you got past the manhunter and got to the driveway, you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but if you tag somebody, they were the manhunter. So no one ever wanted to be the
guy
because they were alone.
Yeah.
But dude, you would take off. Like, we had the golf course behind us. Like,
mm-hmm.
It was just insane.
We had a forest in my neighborhood. So you would get, like, you'd hide in trees.
Yep. Yeah.
And we did it where if you got tagged. Yeah, I don't know what we called it, but yeah. I think we called it extreme hide and seek or something. But, like, if you got tagged, then you were a part of the Manhunter. So, like, the longer you stayed out, the more the numbers grew.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you're hopping fences and you're running through shrubs.
Oh, it felt like
the
best.
You felt like a Navy SEAL.
Yes. Right?
And it was a little dark.
You're in the bushes, like, and shit. Kids would be like, I'm wearing a black hoodie tonight.
Yeah.
Exactly. No one's gonna see. When you're young, you would think, like, it was so cool to be out when it was dark.
Yep.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you're like, I'm a lone soldier in this in this tree.
Well, I'll never forget. I remember I was like, I think I was probably about 7. And I only lived like a mile and a half from my school, my middle school.
Okay.
But all the kids were taking the bus. You could take a bus, like a yellow bus, right? and it had like 18 stops. So that mile took you an hour.
Yeah.
Because they would, you know, but you were on the bus with all your friends and shit.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, all the kids, like, because they were older kids, so they was like, you know, second graders, but then there was eighth graders. And I remember, like, all the seventh and eighth graders would just be on the back of the bus giving, like, people the finger outside, like, right?
Yeah.
And I just get off the bus one time, and the bus pulls away, and I just go. And my mother's like, what the, what is that? And I just go, fuck them. And she goes, what? I go, yeah, we all say it. And she's like, to who? And I'm like, to cars. And she's like, you're not taking the bus now. And that was the end of the bus. The bus ride was over. She was like, yeah. You're going to be getting picked up.
Yeah.
And you're going to be coming home. And I just thought it was so funny. I didn't even know, like, what I was saying.
Oh,
of
course
not.
I
was just like, yeah, fuck you. You know, I thought it was like a greeting.
Yeah. You thought it was the same as, like, doing this to trucks. Yeah, like, fun times.
Yeah, fuck you.
Oh, man, but shit. That's the great part of fucking growing up. Like, that's the shit that, like, you need to have.
Yeah.
You need to have those experiences.
Well, and that's how you learn to, like, get through adversity, too. Like, because a school bus is terrifying as a little kid. But you have to, like, work through that. Where all these, you know, a lot of kids, like, they're on iPads and video games. And, of course, they're probably getting really smart and learning how to code and do that shit. But they don't know how to deal with life.
Well, I mean, I think...
They have no social skills.
No.
But they don't understand the cues. Or it's what it comes down to is body language.
Right.
Yeah.
I even think, like, because I remember I would get on that bus, and, like, if you were, like, a first, second, third grader, they kept those kids towards the front of the bus.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want them entangled with those heathens that were off to high school in a year or two.
No. No, yeah. It's like separating gangs out of prison yards.
The back of the bus kids?
Oh.
Dude.
Insane. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, I don't know. It's just, those were amazing times.
As you get older, you make your way further and further back. And, like, towards the beginning of the year, you would make your way, like, a seat or two too far. And someone would be like, get back. And then that one time, you finally get to the back seat and no one tells you to go forward. And you're like,
this is your bus now.
Yeah. Everyone go to the front of the fucking bus.
Yeah, you're Rufio, dude. Yeah. The leader of the Lost Boys.
But, I mean, I even feel like as a kid, like, it was nice. Like, I remember this Christmas I got... I was into G.I. Joe. I was into, like, He-Man and G.I. Joe. And I'll never forget there was G.I. Joe made an aircraft carrier.
Oh, you had that?
Yes. So the aircraft carrier.
Shit.
The aircraft carrier had to be three and a half feet long.
Yeah.
This thing was an entire living room. Like, our living room was small.
Yeah.
Like, really small. And we had navy blue carpet. And as far as I was concerned, it was the Pacific.
That's so true.
It was the Pacific.
It was so convenient that it was blue, huh?
It was so
what a childhood, bro.
So, you know, Christmas, my dad builds this fucking aircraft carrier, and it had an intercom system on it. Like, a little, and it would,
Like,
a little speaker that would, you know, it was all muffled. It sounded like the MTA announcer.
Yeah.
I'm trade is delayed, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I'll never forget, it was, like, maybe about, like, 3 months into having this thing. And my dad built it for me Christmas, whatever. And he was over it. He's like, this aircraft's got to go.
Wow, that quick?
Yeah, he was like, because it was taking up the entire living room. I mean, it was just, he was tripping over it. Like, it was, and my G.I. Joes were floating in the water.
They died.
A.K.A. the blue carpet.
Yeah.
And, I was like, I mean, he was like, he broke it down, and I was like, if you want to lose the war, go right ahead.
Dad, if you want the commies to win, it's on you.
Say, you're like, I knew it.
Now we're losing our position in the Pacific. And I gotta tell you, I don't think that's smart from my perspective.
It's bad strategy, like, Dad.
The Chinese already have two aircraft carriers. We can't pull out.
Yeah. And that's the
Dad, I know your toe hurts from stubbing it against it over and over again, but we've established a beachhead.
Well, that was the thing, too. It was, like, it was so funny because he then just broke it down and put it, like, in, like, hefty bags.
Yeah.
And then it just got put in a closet. And later on, you know, he just threw it out. And then I saw maybe, like, 8 years ago, some, like, people were selling them online for, like, $1,400 bucks.
God,
because they're, like, vintage.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. I had all those. I can't even remember, but it was like sometimes they had the knights and the pirates and the Robin Hood set.
Yep.
And you hit the head, and they like did the sword movement.
Yeah. Oh man.
It wasn't Playmobil. It was something else, dude. But they were all selling for like $2,000, $3,000.
Fucking unbelievable.
But here's my argument. It's like the guy that's like, "Oh, my Buzz Lightyear's worth $15,000." It's like you've never had a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how many Buzz Lightyears are you going to have in your house still in the box?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then I was a big wrestling fan.
Of course.
Yeah. I must have had about 40 of those wrestlers. It was unbelievable.
Did you have the ring?
Of course.
I always wanted the ring, dude.
With the cage?
Yeah, I always wanted it.
Hell yeah. I mean, those are the things that I wanted. Like,
that's what you asked for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had the half pipes for the tech decks.
Yeah.
You're a tech deck kid.
I was a super fingerboarder.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I even bought the drawer handles from Home Depot and then bolted them to a block of wood. That was the grind rail.
No way. So you get
a custom grind rails from Home Depot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was sick.
See, that's awesome shit. Well, I mean, like, I felt like that. Like, I used to, because sometimes, like, those wrestling figures were hard to find.
Yeah.
You know, because they would come in and they would sell out or whatever. And I remember my mom had, like, these little, like, spots. Like these little stores that she would find. I remember there was this place, it was in this area called Flushing Main Street. And it was this like little Indian shop owner, and he fucking had all of these gem, like, and he was like off the beaten path and nobody knew about him. And I used to walk in there, shit was like lottery. I was like, yo, they got the Hulk Hogan with the white tights. I was like, I'm getting one of those.
Yo, they got one Triple H left.
Yes. Dude, that's these are like great memories.
I never got hit with the wrestling bug.
No,
really?
Yeah. I think it hit me too late. Well, I didn't even know it existed until my little brother got into it.
Right.
You know what it was for me? I had an older cousin, and he had all the WWE games, WWF at the time, on PlayStation.
Oh, okay.
And it would just blew my mind that you could run into a Royal Rumble. There'd be like 40 characters in the ring, and you're just launching people out, just spamming buttons, just throwing dudes out of the ring. You didn't even know how to play, but you were like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then I met Booker T at Firehouse. Actually, his name, Booker T Washington.
How awesome is that?
And I was like, dude, I used to suplex my cousin with you on PlayStation 1.
It's the best.
And he just, like, laughed because he's like, he probably gets that
all the time.
All the time. Well.
But I was like, dude, the scissor drop. And I was doing all his moves. And he's like, it was like someone coming up to you being like, this is my favorite bit of yours.
Yeah.
He was probably like, yeah, the scissor drop. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, I know.
That was like.
I was there.
Like when my parents moved out to Long Island, you remember the wrestler Mankind?
Yeah.
He was like four different characters. He was Dude Love, Mankind, Cactus Jack. And one day, my brother and I are just like in the post office and we see him online because he lived out there. He was just at the post office and I'm like, yo, you should just never meet your heroes.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
You should just I don't want to see him waiting for stamps. Like, this guy was throwing himself.
That is crazy. When you see someone doing civilian shit.
And he barely could walk because he was so, like, disabled from all of the injuries. I mean, he was, like, probably, like, a top five wrestler at one point, like, in the late 90s. It's just crazy.
That's how it is, you know, like, when we meet a comic that we used to look up to as kids or. You see him on TV, and then you, like, meet him, or you have, like, you exchange a few words, and you're just like, oh, man, I really wish I didn't meet you.
Yeah, it's just a regular person.
Like, you're a bum, dude. Like,
you're a person.
Your net worth's $40 million, but you're a bum.
Yeah, you just...
Like,
yeah.
They do?
Anyway.
I learned my lesson early when I was in Spain. I was in Madrid, and I saw Bob Odenkirk, the star of Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bob Odenkirk. So I saw him in a museum. And I was like, holy shit, it's Bob Odenkirk. And I was like, well, I don't know who that is, but.
Apparently he's important to you.
He's like, you got to go say hi. It's like, nah, I don't want to bug him. I don't want to bug him. She goes, no, like, what are the chances? You got to go say something to him. And I walk up to him. And I assumed he was there doing Better Call Saul press because there's billboards everywhere. And I walk up to him, and he clocks me immediately and sees me looking at him.
Oh, boy.
And he looks away. And as I'm saying, "Hi, you're Bob Odenkirk," he's going, he's not looking at me. He's looking at a piece of art, and he's going, "Yep, yep, yep, yep." I'm just like, oh, God. Like, the last thing he wants to do is talk to me. Like, clearly he's thinking, I'm just trying to go to a museum on my day off of doing interviews. I'm in Spain, and this the one American kid has found me. Or maybe I was the 10th that day. Who knows, right?
How crazy that is.
Right? So I was just like, and then I said, "Listen, I don't want anything from you." And then he turned to me, and I said, "I just wanted to say I think you're really funny, and I'm a big fan." And then he immediately was like, "I feel like such a dick." And then he was like, "Buddy, thanks a lot, man. That means a lot." And he like held his hand out. I shook his hand, and I was like, "Enjoy the museum." Like, I worked there. Like, I was just
let me know if you need anything.
Exactly. Yeah, if you need a fucking brochure, I've got one in my pocket.
And I got a map.
Yeah, and then I walked away, and he was with another guy, and the other guy looked at me, and he just goes, "Nice save." And I kept walking. But since then, it's like, you know what? I don't need to talk to these. Like, you just don't want to do it.
Nah.
Yeah.
Because you kind of get where they're coming from, but also it's going to be more damaging for you
than
anything.
Well, think about how much that happens to them, too. Like, I don't know. I had seen, I don't even know who the guy was. I actually think he was a coach. It was a soccer. And he was in Europe, and he was at a gas station. I saw this video. So he's at a gas station, and he's pumping his gas. And these two guys spot him.
Oh, yeah, I saw this clip. God, who was the coach? But sorry, keep going.
It was the coach, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, who was so the guy walks over to him, and he's literally got the gas pump in the car. Like, and this guy puts his arm around him, and he's taking a picture. Like, it's not even like he's in between the car and the gas pump. And he's got his arm around them, and then the friend goes, "Take a picture of me." And then his friend jumps in and puts his arm around them, and the guy's like it's just so weird.
I'm just
like,
pumping my gas.
How fucking weird is that?
I gotta look it up now.
People think they can just like. So like, you're just a statue.
Yeah, like, so I understand why people just go. Yeah,
right. I get why they shut down.
Yeah,
because it is a weird thing. Well, because people feel entitled to it.
Well, because it's that, and also you never know who's coming up to you.
It could be a scary motherfucker.
Exactly.
It could be a guy who's like, "I'm gonna fucking stab him." Like, I don't know. Like, I hate, especially the soccer thing. Mm-hmm. Like, those people are passionate
maniacs.
They go
nuts out there. Like, if you go into a bar wearing the wrong jersey, it might as well be Bloods versus.
So, like, who knows? Like, if they're like, "Oh, that's the coach that lost us the league championship or whatever," and they're like, "He's gonna die at the pump for it today."
Yeah, no, it's crazy, dude.
Well, they have a new movie coming out now about Carlos Escobar.
Okay.
Who was the... They did a 30 for 30 on him. It was one of the first 30 for 30s. It was called The Two Escobars.
Yes.
It was about Carlos Escobar and Pablo Escobar.
And Pablo Escobar, right.
But Carlos Escobar was the captain of the Colombian national team when they were ranked, like, top five in the world. And they were favorites to win the 94 World Cup in the U.S. They played the U.S., who they were supposed to crush. They lose, and he scores an own goal. They lose on the own goal. Colombia, who was supposed to win, didn't even make it out of the group stage. And he goes back, and all of a sudden he goes from being the most popular guy in Colombia, besides Pablo, to being a pariah. And he gets into a situation, and he gets killed.
Holy
and
shit.
And it was over it was over a soccer game.
I mean,
nah, they don't play, bro.
No.
It's got to be terrifying.
Yeah.
It's got to be terrifying. Like, that's why, like, people are so skeptical when you approach them. It's like, I don't know.
Especially, this day and age, like, you don't know.
You know?
You just don't.
It's wild. Good times. Good times.
Moral of the story, good times.
Good times. Good times.
Don't meet your heroes is what we're saying.
You win some, you lose
some. I remember seeing Donald Glover at Warner Brothers. And, I mean, he's one of my favorite people ever. But I was working at Warner Brothers.
Mine is Danny Glover.
And that's where we're different. And that's our only difference, is that that's because you're too old for this shit.
I am too old.
But I saw him, and I was like, oh, my God, it's Donald Glover. And one of my friends who knows, I was like, you didn't go talk to him?
What are you going to say?
I was like, first of all, it's like rule number one at Warner Brothers, don't rush celebrities. But secondly, there's no way my experience with him could be the level his with me.
Nobody wants that.
It's disappointing for everybody.
Yeah.
I'd rather him just be this person. Yeah. I'm like, I'm cool. Never. I'd rather not ever meet him. That's how it goes.
Well, guys, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
It was a great episode.
This was fun, actually.
That was a good really time. Good.
So it was fun, man. And Ben, where can the people find you?
I am at Benjamin T. Thompson on Instagram, Ben Thompson Comedy everywhere else.
All right, Gary.
Monday through Thursday, I'm sitting on this bench, burning my feet, drinking this $12 wine, sharing my life with my friends. And for all the subscribers out there, just ask Ben, and that's where you can find me.
Guys, check out at Good Cooking on Instagram, YouTube. We did a lot of shows, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, so be on the lookout for the vlogs. And you can find me at I'm Sean Madden on Instagram, Sean Madden on YouTube, Sean Madden on Rumble. This episode is brought to you by Lockternal Security, funnycarcovers.com. Get 20% off today. And Stitches West Embroidery Service. Check them out for all your T-shirt needs, jerseys, whatever you need. They do the stuff with the Yankees. You can't go wrong. Ben, Gary, thanks for being here. The hospitality, man. It's always fun coming out here. And I wish I could be out here more.
Soon. We miss you, Sean.
We miss you, too.
Cheers.
Love y'all.
Break.
This was good. This was nice.
That was very nice.
You know what was nice about it? It was regular conversation. You want to
smoke something? You've seen him perform all over LA. Give it up for Sean Madden, everybody.
What have we got here? A fucking comedian.
This joke's not going to go well.